we like I feel like I'm kind of one and the same with Dave Grohl. Like our alignment is aligned. That's probably our bumper. Our alignment is aligned. Oh boy. But anyway, let's get rolling, shall we?
Let's do it.
Dying to Live, Seven Dust, welcome. I don't know what I just tried to say.
Try that again.
Dying to Live, Seven Dust, Nobody's Asking, welcome to the show. I did that backwards, but it's fine. My name's Austin. This is Scotty.
Hi.
And we updated our stream, like our live stream version of this, so now I can see myself, and I really haven't decided how I feel about it just yet.
You're only really grainy in the video because you're sat so far back from the camera compared to me. Like, yeah. I'm a couple inches closer. I'm a couple inches closer, so it's focusing on me.
Yeah, maybe I have room to scoot up a little bit, but it's not much. It is also dark in here, and the light isn't quite as bright.
Right. We could turn on some fill light from the side, but...
We could, yeah.
I don't know if that would help all that much.
I don't know. We're not doing this for YouTube, so it's not really that big of a deal. But anyway, hi, hello, welcome to the show. Welcome to the radio show. We are a radio rock program, also known as a rock radio program, because we also play radio rock. But anyway, we're a two-hour rock and metal program that airs every every Saturday night at night. Thursday night at 9? I think I just had a stroke. Just post this video to r/IHadASTroke.
That's any week.
Right. But yeah, so every Thursday night at 9 for 1 hour. No, I'm just kidding. From 2 hours, 9 to 10. Brought that old joke back.
Okay, and I was making sure that was intentional.
Oh, absolutely.
Because so many times that hasn't been.
Yeah, no. Like, it was definitely intentional. And yeah, the payoff was exactly what I hoped for. So, it was
good. To clear up any confusion from people who don't understand our off brand humor, it's a 2 hour rock show, Thursday nights from 9 to 11.
Indeed. And then we record a podcast, essentially, but we follow in line with the set. And then we take the podcast. Cut out the little intermission bits essentially between the sets, unless we say something funny, in which case I keep it in, because you know it's always best if you keep it in. And then we upload the unedited, mostly unedited, completely uncensored version of the podcast. Podcast version of the radio show. Got there. This is why I need to plan things, and I'll never do it. And then we upload that on Fridays, every Friday at noon, and I still need to upload not last week's podcast because we didn't do one, but the week before because I never did. These are things that I've been thinking about and then forgetting about almost immediately, so let's keep going. Seven Dust, they just played Pierre's, and it has been a year and a half since I've been in a crowd that size. Like, that was insane. I kept looking back, and I was like, oh, that's people. Oh, yeah. This is a thing we can do now without the fear of, you know, contracting a virus, as I have done.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
No, it wasn't. But I have experience, and I also have a vaccine, so I'm not concerned anymore. Especially because the rate of reinfection, both after having it and also after the vaccine, is like...
Real, real low.
Super low. Like, obviously, there's still a chance weird things happen.
Right.
I've
been fortunate because I've been putting off getting mine, but at the same time, I've either had it and was completely asymptomatic, or by some weird miracle, I'm just freaking immune.
Right.
Because I didn't catch it when you had it.
Yeah. Like, and it's still a mystery. Like, we were both next to each other in the same room. Like...
We spent 3 hours in the same car coming back from the same concert where you caught it.
Yeah. And we stayed in the same hotel room with your mom. Your mom didn't have it. And, like, I don't get it. And, like, and what's weird is because you had a mask on the entire time. Like, I think like the entire time, if I remember right.
I took it off a little bit, like when we were sitting at the table.
Yeah, but like because we were there to see Ava Under Fire. Ava Under Fire started taking the stage, so we took our front row spots as we do.
I don't think I wore my mask to the front of the stage. Did I?
You did. Oh,
I
yeah, did. You did.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you kept it on the entire time. So, but yeah, and I'm the one that came home with it. It's granted, I didn't have my mask on because, you know, have you ever tried singing in a mask as a vocalist? I mean, just in general, I'm sure, but as a vocalist who, you know, kind of knows how to work the things, you need a little air control. And those masks do not, especially my mask, because my mask has been, like, well used, and so, like, bits and pieces are starting to kind of clump up. And if I breathe real hard, then I'll swallow those pieces. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, moral of the story is I'm basically immune because through trial and error. Oh, well. But yeah, so last Tuesday night, like not this past Tuesday, because of course today is Thursday, but last week, Tuesday, at Pierre's, it was basically a sold-out show. I think technically it wasn't. There was still like a handful of tickets left or whatever, but that room was packed. Packed. Like, I don't remember what the last show that I went to Pierre's for had that kind of audience. Like...
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I don't remember the last time that room was that full. Like, I know.
I think the biggest Pierre show I've been to was Trivium,
for
and
sure.
That was only like quarter capacity.
Yeah, like there was definitely room at the Trivium show, and like
it didn't feel like it because everybody smashed up front.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's Trivium for you. Which, by the way, and I didn't get it in the set this week, but I will definitely in the next week. Trivium has a new song out.
Do they?
Like, for realsies.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I haven't been keeping up.
Yeah, neither have I. This is why I wasn't in the set. And I was looking through social media while I was recording everything, and I was like, fuck! Trivium has a new song out. Shit! but also, I'm super excited.
For the podcast listeners, that gets edited out for the radio show.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But
or at least censored.
Yeah. We'll finagle it with it. Anyway,
we're doing it live.
We're doing it live. So packed Pierre show. The band couldn't even believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was a great time. Fun PSA with shows coming back. If you do the thing where you drink alcohol at shows, don't overdo it, especially if you're going to a show outside. That's how the dude behind me almost got into a fight with everybody around him, because son of a bitch was slammered.
Star-spangled slammered.
And then
didn't he get kicked out before the first band?
Yep. 30 minutes before the first band, he was being led away. So, control your alcohol, especially if you're going to a festival. Like, we're going to go to Riot Fest next year, mm-hmm. but festivals are coming back. Like, Blue Ridge Rock Fest in Virginia has their full lineup. They're sold out.
Riot Fest is almost sold out for both this and next year already.
I think Riot Fest, the 3-day passes are sold out.
Yeah.
They may or may not still have like single day tickets.
I think they still have single day, but I know they were saying their 3-day passes are sold out.
Yeah, 3-day passes are definitely sold out. It's to the point where they're like, oh, hey, guess what? You know, we're giving away free Riot Fest tickets or 3-day Riot Fest tickets. So like it's the competition stage.
Right.
But yeah, Welcome to Rockville is a thing that's happening. Rockfest in Wisconsin is happening.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rockapalooza sells out.
Rockapalooza?
Yeah, it's another festival.
Oh, never heard of that one.
It's like Lollapalooza, but with actual good music.
Well, I mean, Foo Fighters are on Lollapalooza this year. I don't know anyone else.
It's like Lollapalooza, but with actual good music.
Hey, Foo Fighters are fantastic. Screw you.
I know, we just had this conversation about Dave Grohl. I'm just trolling you.
Yeah, okay, fine. But anyway, so yeah, Seven Dust was fantastic. We'll talk about them a little later, but we figured, you know, might as well do a block of Seven Dust, because of course we should. And it all starts with this song. This song is the title of their latest record and has been on my brain ever since I saw them. The song is called Blood from a Stone and is on WELT. We are back. We've been back, but we skipped last week. I don't know.
Yeah. Stop.
Anyway, like that. But Black Seven Dust, of course, talking about their huge show last Tuesday at Pierre's, which is a sentence that still gives me the tingles every single time. Like, shows are back to full capacity, and Pierre's is back. Like, I'm so excited. I've seen many a packed and many a sold out shows at Pierre's, and I've only been going there for the last almost 10 years now. No. 5 years. Something like that. I turned 27. I started going there when I was 21. Years. Yeah, 6 years. God damn.
Math.
I'm the singer. I'm not the drummer. I can't count. So, it was a welcome sight. And, like, at the very beginning of the pandemic, I know plenty of people like Lizzie Hale and whatnot were talking about, you know, what it's going to be like when the restrictions are lifted or start getting lifted. Shows are back at full capacity. We no longer have to do the pod thing. And like, once I got in there and like, once people started filling in, I was like, oh, this is it. This is that moment. And it was glorious. Like, it was so good. Like, so much fun. So much fun, in fact, that some of us have forgotten just how much venue beers and drinks are. Because, you know, if you remember from the before times, when you go to a venue, especially for a show, it's pretty pricey.
Yeah.
And I met my friend Chris there. Well, I didn't meet him. I knew him, but he was there. He actually hooked me up with the ticket, too, because I was originally going to buy my ticket, and he was like, hey, no, wait, I got you. So, shout out to Chris for getting me in the Seven Dust. And then, before people really started filling up, I kind of, you know, I was in this weird spot, mostly because everyone who knows me and knows me in regards to Pierre's knows that I have my spot on the rail. It's right next to a support pole that bothers basically half the people that ever go to Pierre's. And but I claim that pole as mine. Like, it is my pole. I sit on the right of it, and then I lean up against it. They moved the barrier back, so I couldn't lean up against my pole.
Sad.
Which wasn't as much of an issue, because by the time we actually got into the venue, all the VIP were in there, and they took up my spot anyway. Those bitches.
Yeah.
That's why I hate Early Andre. But yeah, so we ended up a little to the left of my pole. So, you know, stage right, but farther down. Definitely not in front of the stage. And we were like, okay, this is whatever. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, do I really want to be in this spot? Or should I just go find Chris and hang out with him? Because I had friends there, and I was like, I know this is my thing. I know I make a big deal out of, you know, I mean, I wrote a whole freaking song about it. I know I make a big deal about being on the rail, being front and center, being, you know, right there in that pocket where, yeah, you're not going to get too great of sound just because, you know, that's the nature of how sound works, especially when you don't have speakers right in front of you. But it's also that, like, that connection is what does it for me. It's why I keep going back to the rail, and it's why I keep like, I need to learn the song so I know where we're at. But it's not a problem at Pierre's anymore, because they actually have the speakers and whatnot in front of the stage.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I was like, man, it has been a while. I'm considering not being on the rail for this show. And that's when everybody looked at me with mouths agape, Gwyneth Paltrow, Channing Tatum, stick of butter. Anyway. Moral of the story is I stayed at the rail, though.
Good.
But I did go back and say hi to Chris Collier from the Kickbacks, who needs to, at this point, sue Facebook for being dicks.
Yeah.
That could also be my bumper. Just dicks.
Dicks.
Dicks. So, yeah, if you're familiar with the Kickbacks, Facebook took down their page again. Well, they unpublished their page. The page itself is still exists.
All three of them.
Yeah, well, they took down the other two. Like, those are gone.
Oh, are they? I thought they were just unpublished.
They are gone. Like, Chris can't even get access to them.
Oh, wow.
This one, his third page for the Kickbacks, is unpublished, so he can still look at everything. All of his posts are still there. He could even make posts. They just don't post because his page has been unpublished, and he can't publish it.
So weird.
And they even took away the button to repeal the unpublishing.
They took away the appeal button?
Yeah. Like, he tries to go in and like appeal the, you know, appeal or, you know, whatever, and it's not there. Whereas the other two pages, he had that option. Like, we have no idea what's going on.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, that's something, because last night, this past Friday, went to O'Sullivan's because Hazen Soul, which we'll talk about a little later, but Hazen Soul played O'Sullivan's for the first time since quarantine, which was the last time that we saw Hazen Soul at O's.
Yeah.
Because that was the last show we went to before quarantine really hit. And so I was, you know, hanging out with him while Hazen Soul was getting set up, and he was, you know, going through, explaining it to somebody else, and he hadn't really explained it to me, just, you know, kind of like, this all had just happened, because the kicker was, last Thursday they opened for Jackal. Up until they went on stage, they had a page, and then, like, somewhere throughout the night, Chris got the notification that it was unpublished. So, like, no one's really sure, like, obviously, because I think we're thinking the first page was like a combination of things. They had live videos of them doing covers, you know, maybe, you know, because Chris likes to take a shirt off while playing, because, you know, he's a drummer and it gets hot. Like,
that's not against TOS.
I don't know. We're at this point, we were just thinking of things that, like, somebody might report a page for.
Right. Another thing that Facebook can unpublish your page for is if one of the admins has a fake profile.
That was my next point, because Eric doesn't have a Facebook page. Like I think he had one to start, like, because I think he started the page or whatever. Or they all thought that they all had to be on there so that they could all do social media, and then it ended up falling on Chris anyway, because, you know, Chris is the brains of the band at this point, besides the music stuff. Like, obviously that's collaborative, but Chris is like me. Like, he books the shows, he runs the social media, like, that's all his thing.
Right.
So we're thinking that the first time it was, like, a combination of things. The second time, we have no idea what happened, because for a while it was the Kickback's TKB, and it was working just fine. And then he finally, you know, took the risk of cutting off the TKB, and then almost immediately, like, the name change was approved, and then almost immediately it was shut down. This time, he had the Kickbacks. It was...
The page for a few weeks.
Had the page for, I think, 4 weeks now or something like that?
Yeah,
about
a month.
Spread the word. We tried to get everybody... You know, we were trying to get everybody we could to like it.
Because the first page had over 3,000 likes on it.
Yeah, I started spamming the page, or started spamming Facebook to the point where it was like, Facebook... I was pretty sure I was going to end up in Facebook jail. Like, I was ready for it. I was like, if I end up in Facebook jail because I sent too many people an invite to, like, a band, that's fine. Because, you know, every so often I'll go through, like, because I gain new Facebook friends, like, all the time, which sounds like a brag, but it's Facebook friends. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. Every so often I will, you know, check my, you know, check and see how many people that, you know, I haven't invited to, like, the page yet. Invite them, like, the page. So on and so forth. And, I have never once gotten the thing. Like, and, you know, we're not, like, I'm not saying we're obnoxious and vulgar on any of our pages. But at the same time, you know, like, I've been pretty vocal about my distaste for Facebook and how they operate.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
Why is the Kickbacks getting taken down? And specifically, why are the Kickbacks, the band, getting taken down when there's 5 other pages that have some variation of Kickbacks or the Kickbacks or the Kickback or the whatever?
Right.
Like, what are they doing? Like, is one it one of them?
One of them. When you search the Kickbacks, it's the top result. They're from Ireland, I believe. They're a wedding band.
I think that one actually might just be the Kickback. It's some variation. I know that, like, I know there's at least one the Kickbacks on there, but it's a wedding planning thing. Like, it's a wedding planning service or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if it's, you know, if we're talking about the same thing. But moral of the story is, why aren't they getting taken down? Why is Chris's band getting taken down almost immediately? And so everyone at this point, I think, is coming to the conclusion that there is somebody out there that's, like, connected to Chris that's behind his back, like, reporting it for God knows whatever reason. And my question is, like, we can report fake merch pages all day long.
Fake merch pages, imposter accounts.
Yeah.
whatever. They never get taken down.
They never get taken down. Or if they do, we don't hear about it. However, from what it appears, as soon as one person like reports them, it's gone. With no warning and no reason given. Like, I hate that I have Facebook.
And
I can't
let's not
avoid having Facebook.
That, you know, Chris has had interactions with them and, you know, has had a back and forth with them up until they ghosted him.
Yeah.
Nothing ever got resolved.
Nope.
He handwrote and mailed Facebook a letter.
Yep. Nothing's happened.
Nothing's happened. Hasn't heard back about that.
Yeah.
Like,
I hate that I have to have a Facebook because it is so awful, but that's where everybody is. Like, everybody has a Facebook. No, not everybody has a Twitter. Most people have an Instagram, but, you know, It's owned by Facebook, but that's not even the problem. The problem is, like, Facebook has all of these tools for pages and bands and everyone to, you know, do events, to do promo, to do all this other stuff. And like, is it because we don't pay Facebook? Because I'm sorry, I don't fucking trust Facebook.
Nope. Like, not after what happened to me.
Yeah. Like, I would be willing to go out of my way to get, like, a Facebook gift card if we were to ever start doing promotions again. That's,
like just
that's
a general use reloadable gift card.
We throw our
ad budget on that.
Yeah.
And then.
Like, either that or, there. Like, I'm pretty sure Facebook themselves have, like, Facebook gift cards. I feel like that should. It probably won't, just because that's, you know, how Facebook works is, like, we'll give you all the tools, but you can only use them if we say you can. Like, fuck Facebook. Like, it's just fucking awful. Anyway, now that we've had that rant for the day, I think we should play some sad emo music. But not the emo hour. We have that coming up next.
Emo corner. We don't have a whole hour.
A whole hour.
We could.
I could absolutely make that happen. If I get sad enough one day, one Saturday, when I make the set on my way to record the show. Then, you know, maybe I'll do that, but I have to be sad enough for that.
But, yeah, I think that through all of this, Chris, the Kickbacks, and everybody who is in a band and having trouble with Facebook, they just need to remember that we're stronger than defeat.
We do be. So do in Ghosts. I think in Ghosts, actually. I know you're making this a bit, but yeah. I think in Ghosts actually has some of the, you know, some of the bigger, you know, relation to that.
Oh, yeah.
Kinda why
for
they,
sure. That's kind of why they wrote the song.
Yeah, that's kind of why they wrote the song. The song is Defeat by In Ghosts. It's on WELT.
Because I'm pretty sure this song was actually written about that tour. I know he said it was about his like anxiety and stuff, but I think it was spurred from that tour.
Oh, it was a whole slew of things. Like, yeah. They have had the worst luck for some of the most genuine like musicians.
Phenomenal people,
phenomenal recordings. Like, you know, they're like they do all of the same things that Ava Under Fire does, obviously, except for, you know, they're musically a lot different.
Right. They're a gent band. Like,
yeah.
They're not radio rock.
Yeah.
But
like, and still nobody gets picked up. And then we have Greta Van Zeppelin. That's yeah. My name for him.
But no, like, In Ghosts has worked with freaking Joey Sturgis of all people.
Yeah.
Like,
and still, like, nothing for them. Nothing handed out.
And
to
Josh,
them.
They've worked with Josh Schroeder.
Yeah. Josh Schroeder.
Yeah, regularly.
Yeah, like, that's their dude.
And Josh just did the new Lorna Shore record.
Yeah.
And have you heard, I know you have, but have you guys heard the new Lorna Shore song?
I don't even like this subgenre of music, and even I was like, oh.
That last breakdown, I was terrified and horny at the same time.
Such a good joke. I love it. Yeah. No,
like, when the dude spends literally 30 seconds sounding like he's going to hawk the most disgusting loogie just for it to pay off with this massive, slow, like, I imagine fucking, like, 15,000 teenagers crowd-killing
yeah,
each other.
Yep.
when this hit, like, and it was beautiful.
It was like, it was insane. Like, I like, again, not my subgenre, but oh my god. Like, holy shit. Like, I was terrified as well. I wasn't horny, but that's just, again, that's the kind of stuff that doesn't turn me on. But anyway, so yeah, now that we've talked about, you know, a death metal band that turned us on and terrified us at the same time, which is, you know, a rather disturbing image, but I think in context it works, we're gonna talk about the exact opposite. Blow. We're going to talk about Blow. Instead of being turned on by death metal, we're going to talk about doing Blow. that is where...
That's not what the song's about.
No, it's not, but it's Blow. Let's be real. It's not what the song is about, but again, Chris Slapnick is in the band.
That is fair.
Blow, Ava Under Fire, Nobody's Asking, WELT, welcome back to the back or something. I don't know. But anyway, we're also at the end of the hour. That is a thing. We've been recording for... We don't have it up here anymore, so we've been recording for how long? Probably about 38 minutes, because that's what the...
31 minutes.
31 minutes? Fucking love that song.
It's a good song.
It is a really good song. The feature... I said last week when we, well, not last week, but the week before when we actually, you know, premiered that song on this station. Obviously, it's everywhere at this point, except for radio. So we need to get that fixed. We need to, you know, hit up like radio people and whatnot and be like, play the song like now. But
our show is the only FM radio station currently playing it.
I guarantee there has to be another FM radio show, FM radio program.
There has to be for them to have as many plays as they've gotten.
Well, I mean, they're also Ava Under Fire.
They
spent a lot of money on those Facebook ads that we refused to do.
That they did.
So there's that.
They also spent a lot of money on studio time that we refused to do.
Yeah, well, that isn't as much of a refusal as it is a we don't have it in our budget.
That's fair.
Like, it's, you know, and it's still mostly our fault. Like, we just haven't, you know, set ourselves to do that. But at the same time, you know, we have most of everything here. So, you know, it's gotten us going. And we're happy with that.
Yes.
Just like we'll be happy tonight. If you're watching the live stream, then it's tonight. If you're listening to the podcast or the radio show, it was last Saturday. But because we're playing with Set for the Fall tonight, and I'm so excited to see and meet them. Like, oh my god,
like, it's gonna be a good time.
I'm so freaking excited. And then the after party with the Kickbacks. Anyway, so excited. But anyway, so yeah, we're at the end of the show. Yeah, we're at the end of the hour. We're not at the end of the show. We have a whole nother hour. That's a thing that we get to do with you. So yeah, we're at the end of the hour. As we said at the beginning of the show, 2-hour rock and radio program from 9 to 11 called Nobody's Asking. That's what we are. And then if you're listening to the radio show, we do a podcast version of it, which is basically we record a podcast and then following in line with the set, we edit the podcast heavily to present to you what you're listening to now, and then we put up the full, mostly unedited, completely uncensored podcast version on all podcasting apps on Fridays at noon, and you know, we go from there, and then we come back and we do it again.
Yep,
that's pretty much how that works. If you're listening to the podcast, we do a radio show. I just mentioned it, but we do a radio show. It's like I said, Nobody's Asking, every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on WELTFM.org. Or if you are actually in Fort Wayne and you have a radio, you can just listen to it on the radio. We said that we were an FM radio station because we are. WELT is an FM radio station, and we are a show that exists on that station. We're super excited about that.
Before you sell this next song, I have something I want to bring up.
Yeah, go ahead.
We can potentially splice it into before all of that bit in editing.
I mean, I wasn't gonna jump right into the cell either. So we can. It just works.
It just felt like you were going into the cell.
No, not yet. Okay. I was definitely, you know, selling the end of the show, saying, you know, yeah, but yeah, I hadn't quite gotten to the finale yet.
But what I wanted to bring up,
yeah,
was speaking of Blow having a feature of one Spencer from Ice Nine Kills.
Uh huh.
Ice Nine Kills has a new record coming out.
Yeah, I'm super excited. It comes out October, what did I say,
23rd? 15th, I think.
Or, oh, yeah, maybe 15th. Yeah. In October, definitely check out, well, by the time, because we're going to talk about that actually later on in the set.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
All we have is the set list. We don't have actual notes.
Right there. That is the new...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad.
Hey, it's fine. So yeah, Ice Nine Kills has an album coming out in October. Super excited. I will definitely have that date for you by the time we actually get to that song. Yeah, features Spencer Chynoz on the Ava Under Fire song. Ava Under Fire's record.
I keep wanting to say Spencer Sotelo, but that's periphery.
Oh, yeah, no, not so much. It's Spencer Chynoz, one of the two. But... yeah, he's on the new Ava Under Fire song. Ava Under Fire's record is going to be coming out probably about the same time. I don't remember if Chris gave us a date yet, which granted, nobody has given us an official date. It's just Chris likes to talk. And, you know,
he tells us what he's legally allowed.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah. this is how we know. Let me make sure that's not that it matters too much. Okay, it's still recording, so we should be fine. Yeah, so October, we have Ice Nine Kills and Ava Under Fire both releasing records. I am super excited, especially the concept for the new Ice Nine Kills record.
Their marketing is on point.
I freaking love it. They started teasing it not too long ago, but I forgot about it entirely. I was like, oh, I wonder what those ended up being. And then I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, that's what it is. Got it. That's amazing. Yeah. But like I said, we should talk about specifically
the interaction they've had regarding their pre-orders.
Yes!
We should definitely talk about that later.
But like I said earlier, we're at the end of the hour. Like I said, we have another hour of music and bullshit that we're going to talk about. You know, it's just, it goes hand in hand when it involves us. But
plus, if you are a radio listener, it gives you an excuse to check out the podcast.
Indeed.
When it goes live tomorrow at noon, because we have a podcast exclusive segment.
Yes. We do this every week. It's called the Weekly Reddit Reading. Weekly Reddit Reading. We need to make that like an intro now.
Weekly Reddit Reading. I can design something. Just play a clip or something.
Yeah, like Weekly Reddit. We just need to get me doing it at like various times.
Get you trying to say Weekly Reddit Reading five times fast?
Weekly Reddit Reading. Weekly Reddit Reading. Weekly Reddit Reading. That one specifically. But yeah, we have a weekly Reddit reading that we do exclusively for the podcast because they are cold reads. And so we just save it off of the podcast. So we don't have to edit it. That's really just all it is. We just don't want to edit it.
I think the first two we did on the radio, and it just became so much of a hassle. I was like, let's just make this podcast exclusive.
Pretty much. Give
people a reason to check out the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So So we have that coming. Obviously, if you're watching the Twitch chat, the Twitch channel.
Twitch hears it first.
Twitch hears everything first. They hear the completely unedited, uncut, unfiltered garbage that comes out of my mouth.
The only thing they don't get is the music.
Yeah. Which is, you know, about the only thing that the podcast doesn't get.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, taking us out of the hour, like I said, we'll be back. They freaking tore it up last Tuesday and, like, everybody can't stop talking about it. I work at a hotel, by the way. This sounds off topic, which is to be expected, but it's not. I work at a hotel, and that day, I was obviously working that morning, and someone called the hotel and was like, hey, so I'm coming into town. I have meet and greets at Pierre's. And I was like, are you a band? I didn't say that, but that was my very first thought. I was like, am I talking to a band member right now? He was like, for Seven Dust. And I was like, oh, dope, okay. And, you know, he's wondering if he was going to be able to, like, check into his room early or whatever, which, in retrospect, he wasn't actually checking in that super early. And also, I didn't see him, but I got off at 1, so I wouldn't have seen him anyway. Moral of the story, he told me that he was going to the Seven Dust show. I was like, okay, dope. Yeah, I'll probably see you there because I'm also going. He's like, no shit. And I was like, yep, I will be there. He's like, dope. And started talking a little bit, giving directions to Pierre's, but I was like, man, that feels good. like I always love like event days that I'm actually working because like I can tell who's I can usually tell who's actually going to the event.
Right.
And so it's just be like, hey, I'll see you there.
I don't remember. It was when I was working at Rickers. And I think Kiss came through town. It was either Kiss or a Kiss tribute band.
It was probably Kiss. Because we didn't start getting the amount of tribute bands coming through Fort Wayne until after the pandemic.
Right. But anyway, I think it was actually Kiss. And I had so many people come into the gas station that day. And one guy actually, we sat and talked for a minute. And he had seen Kiss... I think he said something like 37 times over the years.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah. And I was just like...
Did you know that Gene Simmons was in that band?
I straight up said, I can't justify $4,000 a ticket.
No.
And he was like, yeah, it's a little rough, but being up front, it's worth it.
I mean, hey, and granted, you know, especially for Kiss, like, those are reserved seats, you know, as opposed to, you know, a general admission concert that we're accustomed to going to. So, like, and... Lord knows that that's going to be me when Shinedown hits that stage. Like, when they, you know, when it's to the point where most of their audience, like, would prefer a seat instead. It's that I'm like,
it's yeah, like when it's rough, Journey goes on tour. Like, there's no pit, it's all seating.
Yeah.
Because who listens to Journey? Old people.
Hey, I like Journey.
Old people.
I'm not old. I'm younger than you. Fuck you. Anyway, moral of the story is Seven Dust freaking tore it up at Pierre's last Tuesday, and they ended with this song, which is my favorite Seven Dust song. The song is called Face to Face, and we will be right back after a few short PSAs, and if you're listening to the podcast, there's an ad, so we'll see you in a second. Animals, the orchestral version. Which, fun fact, does not exist on Apple Music.
Oh.
So, I mean, like, it's been played on the radio, so it's not, like, completely unheard of. But, yeah, that is the orchestral version, and I've been hearing that version, like, I think once a day. Because my favorite morning show is on vacation, so I've been listening to a little more Sirius XM. And so I've been hearing that every day. I'm just like, the song's already a banger.
Mm-hmm.
But Metallica proved that if you put a rock band with a symphony, you're going to just... make it 10 times better.
Yeah, and Architects just, they're killing it.
They're fucking like, killing it. They're on FM radio now.
They pioneered what, like, they took djent, which, you know, before Architects was around, was just a bunch of Meshuggah copycats.
Pretty much.
And they brought a new melodic progressive thing in with it.
They brought the modern metalcore sound.
Yeah.
That Bring Me the Horizon pioneered to and just added some djent to it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like that's how I'm saying it.
Them and Periphery are the two bands that everyone wants
melodic
to be.
Djent. Magentic. There you go. It's magentic.
But like they're just so good. Like, and then you have bands like Monuments and Tesseract,
yeah,
who are all just Architects ripoffs,
pretty much. And like, and don't get me
wrong,
they're
all great.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, they're all fantastic. And they like the thing I was thinking about this the other day, and like, you know, we have all these bands that are like, so if you like Architects, you'll like Tesseract or whatever. Or if you like Meshuggah, you'll like, you know, this band. If you like Shinedown, you'll like To Breathe Again, you know, like all of these different like comparisons. And you know, the joke is that, yeah, so it's like Shinedown with like a little bit of Hailstorm with like a little bit of Black Veil Brides and like a Hailstorm, or I said Hailstorm, Metallica fix in there. Like, I think I said Metallica, I don't know. Moral of the story is, yeah, we have this like litany of bands that are just like, you know, hey, you know it's kind of like this but like with a little bit of this and like that thrown in. And like, that's a thing. And inherently, like, as a creator, you're just like, oh yeah, that is reality. And sometimes it gets to you. Like, sometimes you're just like, man, we really aren't, like, you know, like, we feel original, but like the part about that is we have our own stories. So yeah, like, you know, we sound like Breaking Benjamin. We have, you know, you have a big Zakk Wylde influence. I have a big Metallica and Shinedown influence. My stage presence is like 70% inspired by Taylor Swift. Like, you know, we wear our influences on our sleeves. But like the thing that really sells a band, even a band that, you know, and I'll even throw Greta Van Fleet into this. A band like Greta Van Fleet is their stories. their writing, their, you know, like their presence. That's what really sets a band apart from being, oh, you know, Metallica Light or whatever, as opposed to being, you know, yeah, if you like Led Zeppelin, you're going to love Greta Van Fleet. Because they're the modern Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, you know? This might get, you know, cut from the...
Hate them as I do, but like, I don't even hate them. I just don't care to listen to them. But still, it's that concept of, you know, yeah, these things are a thing, but like, what really sets people apart, and the biggest thing that can ever set you apart, in my experience, is what you bring to that sound that makes it you.
Right, and this might get cut from the radio version just for respect, but you said Metallica Light and I immediately thought of Static Fly.
Yeah, that might get cut. But you're right. But so, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, sometimes, you know, it's hard to kind of grapple with, like, oh yeah, you know, that is a thing, but at the same time, you know, like, you either choose to take it, you know, offensively, like, oh, well, I can't do that. Or you're like, you take it as a compliment, like, thank you. Like, thank you for thinking that my words are in comparison to this bigger band, you know? So, and, you know, and for example, we played our wedding show. Funny, we stopped talking about that immediately after the wedding. But we played our wedding show. Our friend Jenny, who is with our boy Alan from Mid-American Entertainment, she told us like a couple days, I think like a day or two after that, like, you know, I really enjoyed your set. You had a lot more energy and a lot more like you were better than some of the national acts I've seen. That was a huge compliment for me because I view my dream is to be a national headliner. You know, like, yeah, obviously I want to write the songs, but like my big dream is to put on those shows that I love to go see, you know? So they have a compliment, like that after our very first show that was more so a wedding reception than, you know, like, you know, trying to market a real show or whatever. That meant a lot. It also meant a lot that people showed up. Like, first of all.
Yeah, for sure.
But so yeah, like, you can choose to take those comparisons as I need to do something different, or, you know, I'm flattered, thank you. Speaking of something different, and Ghost is getting more emo and I'm about it. And speaking of a local band ish they're local ish at this point, but speaking of locals, we got a local spotlight.
That we do.
Yeah, we're going to head into that. If you're watching the Twitch stream or if you're watching the VOD on Saturday, July 10th, we are about to go play a show with these guys, opening up for a band called Set for the Fall. I ran out of room to put the actual Set for the Fall into the set. That was my fault. But I had a couple other bands that I really needed to make sure that were in the set, and we are in the second hour. So, but... these guys, they are in the direct support slot. We thought we were going to be in it, and then we got the official lineup. We were actually opening the show, and we're super excited to do so. So these guys are in the direct support slot. If you catch this before 8 p.m. tonight, and you're in Fort Wayne, then come out and see us. You know, it'd be super cool. If not, then you missed it. But hopefully we were able to like get some video from it or something like that. So. Moral of the story is, this is a band called Echoes from Oblivion. The song is called Love is a Plague, and it is on WELT going in to your local spotlight. We'll be right back. Captain Buck Funny. I said Buck Funny, as opposed to Fuck Bunny, which is probably what that song was originally going to be titled, and then Korosik got creative. But anyway, speaking of Korosik, last Saturday, O'Sullivan's was rockin', no pun intended, and no intent to, you know, be that radio guy, but it was a rockin' weekend. Hi, baby girl. Meow. Hello. You can get up there, you know. I looked up, and I saw a kitty in between us, and I was like, oh, it's my baby. It's my baby girl. And now she's gone. She disappeared. Oh, she's right there. Anyway. So, yeah. Kurosik and Haze and Soul got together, played their first show back at O's since the pandemic, and it was fantastic, let me tell you. It was great to see them. It was Haze and Soul and Kurosik were the last band that we saw before lockdown. So it was great to see them again after lockdown. It was super cool. It would have been great had they, you know, ended up being the first band, but we've been to many shows during and since. So, you know, there's that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I know publicly I've never been the biggest fan of Kurosik, but I actually did enjoy listening to them. And I think a lot of it was the crowd. The crowd really enjoyed them. But I did enjoy listening to them. And I was also like super excited because like Captain Buck Funny is the only song that I really know-ish by Kurosik. And so I was like, oh, I wonder if they're going to play that. And they played it at the end of their set. And I was like, oh, okay, this is actually amazing. But yeah, so... they ended their set with it, and it was a lot of fun, so I ended the local spotlight with it. And then, of course, before that, we had King Crusher by Haze and Soul. Fantastic group of people. I am so excited. They played, like, I think 4 new songs, one of which they debuted last night. That was super fun. I'm super excited for the new stuff. Like, new stuff is going to be so good. Like, oh my god. I'm so excited. This is going to be so good. And then before Haze and Soul, we had This Is Not a Drill by Withered Veins. They played with us this past Saturday at the Muse with Echoes from Oblivion and Set for the Fall. Super excited to, we're recording this before the show, so I'm actually super excited to go and to be there and to play and to, you know, see all the bands. And then we're going back to O'Sullivan's for an after party.
Yeah.
Super exciting stuff. So anyway, we mentioned at the end of the last hour that we do this thing that is a podcast exclusive, and it is called the Weekly Reddit Reading. And what that is we pick a Scotty picks a post from usually r/AITA.
Formerly AITA.
I mean, I say AITA just because we're on the radio, but it's for the podcast listeners, it's r/AmITheAsshole. And then, you know, he cold reads it, we talk about it, and we move on with our lives.
Yeah, it is a cold read. I do skim it a little bit just to kind of get a feel.
Yeah.
But that's fair. And then I do take a glance at the comments and see what people are saying.
Yeah,
but.
especially if, you know, we feel like the post itself was unresolved, so we just kind of, you know, we sit here, we talk about it, we give our opinions, but the thing is that nobody asked us for it.
That's kind of the whole gimmick of the show.
This is how we came to nobody's asking. So hopefully you enjoy it. If not, you didn't ask for it. So, you know, what do you got to lose? Yeah, it's whatever.
But about 15 minutes.
Something like that. Yeah, usually 10 to 15 minutes usually, because, you know, we read the thing, we talk about the thing, we move on with our lives. But so sit tight and let's get ready to judge people. Because that's really why we do this. It's our excuse to just judge people. But anyway,
here it comes.
Go ahead, Husby.
He didn't do it.
I fucked it up. Take it away, Scotty.
God damn it.
Anyway, go on with your bad self, my husband.
From r/AmITheAsshole, user FrostyDetective4726.
Fantastic. I love this.
AITA for not allowing my son to move out and interfering in his life.
Okay.
My son, Aaron, 21, has been with his partner, Joe, also 21, since around November 2019, and I, without a doubt, will say that he is the worst thing that has ever happened to him.
Oof.
I wanted to like him, but he's rude, arrogant, you struggle to get a word in when Joe is around. Aaron has always had struggles with judging people's character, so he's trusting and a little naive. And this has meant that he often moved around friendship groups in school because of drama. Still, Aaron found his feet, got out of that cycle. He went to university, and I'm so proud, especially as he struggles with anxiety and initially found being away from home hard. But when Joe came into his life, it all seemed to go wrong again. He would call me crying, wishing to come home because they were fighting, and then the next minute he calls me to say he overreacted and everything was fine, and that I shouldn't worry, and please not hold this over Joe. Aaron's brother, Jamie, knows more of the details because Aaron feels more comfortable telling him, but is unaware of some of the things Jamie has shared with me. Jamie claims that Aaron's friends are worried too, and that Aaron barely went out, citing anxiety flare-ups. Now, I don't know if it was just normal fighting and mental health struggles, or if there's something else going on, because Joe always seemed to be the one going out with friends and others and informing them of Aaron's absence for him, which struck me as odd at the time. It was a gut feeling, and I tried discussing it with Aaron, but he'd shut me down, saying he was happy. The fact was, all the good progress he made just slipped away. He kept asking for assignment deadline extensions, but he brushed it off as uni pressure getting to him. I was concerned, especially as he was not seeing his therapist. The final straw was when Aaron came home to study online during this year. I was appalled to see how he'd gotten and how often he was glued to his phone, calling Joe at all hours for hours at a time. I could barely get him to myself. Then, a friend told Aaron they saw Joe leaving a bar, dressed up, getting into an Uber with someone none of us know, kissing their cheek, and asked who it was. Aaron had no clue. Joe claimed it was his cousin. I know a lie when I hear one, and I finally had enough because something has to give. I called Joe to say plainly that he wasn't welcome in my home and to stay away from my son. Aaron blew up, calling me a control freak. He threatened to go live with him, but only changed his mind when I said I wouldn't financially support him. I maintain that he has to stay and get his life back together. He says I'm being awful and have no right to do this. Joe is even telling him I'm being unfair, never gave them a chance, and I'm certain Joe is no good, cheating, and I need my son to stay home. Sometimes it's cruel to be kind. Am I the asshole?
I mean, inherently, no. Because you're looking like that is your son, and yeah, he's an adult. He's going to make his own decisions. But for you to want to step in, no. The caveat to that is he is 21. He can make his own decisions. And based on the fact that he called it uni, I'm thinking he might be from the UK.
Possibly.
Just because Americans are awful and we call it college. We don't refer to it as
Could also be Australian.
Could be Australia, yeah. Moral of the story, not from America. US. So the US, yeah. That's what I meant to say. But from a concerned parent's perspective, definitely not the asshole. And even from the, he's your son, and yeah, you want the best for him, but he's also not an adult. He can make his own decisions. Even from that perspective, I'd still say you're not being the asshole, just because sometimes people need that, and it sounds like, and of course, and I say this every time, we always take the am I the asshole readings as, kind of with a grain of salt, just because this is only one side of the story. We don't have... we can't really compare and contrast the two sides of the story. So, but based on the information given, I don't think you're the asshole in either form. At the same time, it is one of those things where, you either need more proof or you just need him to learn himself.
That's sort of where I am. I would say that OP... I think OP, his heart is in the right place, but he is being an asshole about it. I think that the best way to go about it is your son is 21. Yeah. You should not be financially supporting him anyway.
Correct. I mean,
so that needs to stop regardless.
Yeah.
Let your son live his life And when he learns the hard way that Joe is a toxic individual,
yeah,
then he'll come around to his senses.
Always, and like, because that was going to be my approach anyway.
The reason that I'm kind of taking this side is because I went through something very similar.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, it cost me 5 years of no contact with my family.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I finally came around, you know, we were able to, you know, rebuild some of the bridges that I had burned. Not all of them.
Not all of them.
That's fine.
Yeah. Which, I mean, granted, in your specific situation, to have expected everything to go back to how it was,
mm-hmm.
not a good idea.
Right. But I think that considering, you know, the age of the people involved
mm-hmm.
and everything else, I think, yeah, you're kind of being an asshole. Let your son live his life, but at the same time, be ready for when he comes back.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I agree with you on all things except for it's the mental health part that kind of like stops me, because I'm on the same boat, or I'm on like same, you know, whatever. Like, if he refuses to, you know, like, listen to you about this thing that you know is happening, then, you know, yeah, he needs, like, at that point, you just need to be like, okay. Of course, always being open to the idea that you're wrong. That's the biggest advice I can give to that approach is, okay, maybe I'm wrong. I think I'm right. In fact, I would go as far as to say I know I'm right, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It's the mental health and the anxiety part that gets me, though, because, you know, very clearly the son grew up in a very supportive household. And, you know, especially given the, you know, he was actively seeking therapy, you know, and, you know, they really, you know, worked hard to treat his anxiety and everything. That's just the only part that gets me, I guess, is like, you know, do I take that risk that this gets worse and I'm not able to step in before it gets way worse, or, you know, or am I just being overbearing? And so it's one of those things where when you do go, okay, always keep and remind him that if something goes wrong, you come here. There is a space for you here.
Right.
And that's how I approach a lot of things too, is, you know, because we have friends, very close people to us, that do some not so, you know, great things, not so things that we feel are, you know, a little risky, or like, you know, things that we just don't feel comfortable for. But if, you know, if we explain ourselves once, and we say, hey, these are the things that are throwing red flags up at me just by how you're describing them, I wouldn't recommend pursuing whatever it is. And, you know, and if the answer is, well, I'm going to do it anyway, okay. Like, you're more than welcome back here. I'm open to being wrong, but I have a bad feeling about this. And, you know, and it also depends on, it depends on how you approach the person about it, and it depends on what they tell you.
Right. And, like, I don't know. I think my biggest thing here is OP is treating his adult son like he's still in high school.
Correct. And I agree with that.
And I think he is being an asshole for that.
Yeah, it's definitely a little aggressive. A little more aggressive than...
So, my plan of action here...
Like, without the proof that, you know, things are getting that bad.
Right.
Like, you know, if the dude's cheating on him and he stays with them, that's on them.
Yeah. My plan of action here would be the financial support needs to stop, period.
Mm-hmm.
Just...
Like, that part I have no qualms with. Just because, A, you know, he does need to learn to be self-sufficient.
Right.
But... And so, like, yeah, holding that over his head, like, you're definitely trying to persuade him,
mm-hmm.
you know, onto your side, which is, you know, definitely a manipulative, you know, tactic,
exactly.
or whatever.
So,
but also at the same time, like, you know, I would also start, you know, and, you know, trying to encourage him to be a little more self-sufficient. Like, I get that he's in uni, and I get that, you know, college is hard, especially once you get deep into it and you're like, you're making real progress.
Right.
Like, that shit sucks.
He's 21. He's really close to graduating, I would assume. So, like, you know, that financial assistance, it needs to stop. Like, on a consistent basis. Obviously, yeah. You know, if he's, you know, hurting for a bill or something.
Yeah.
Like, and he, like, comes to you for help. And, like, yeah.
And that's
what you do.
That's a lot of what I was getting at with the whole, like, I'm going to let you do this, but you have a place here. Like, you're still going to be supportive, but it's just you can't support what you're seeing.
Right.
You know? So if there is something that you're not seeing, or if you are misunderstanding something, then that's something else entirely. But from what you're seeing, I can't actively endorse this.
Right. And I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think, you know, let the man live his life and just be there if he needs you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the bottom line here.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah. People do shitty things, and sometimes they, you know, do things that they don't really understand are shitty until they're, you know, they're way too deep in it, and, you know, they need help getting out.
So. Yeah. Now I'm sad.
Good, because that's the end of that segment, and we have emo hour coming, or emo corner coming up. And
I already did that joke.
Yeah, you did.
Only I'm actually kind of sad now.
Oh, like, no, yeah, same. This one hit a little close to home. So I completely get it. But anyway, so if you missed all of that, that's because you listened to the radio show, so, or you just weren't paying attention while listening to the podcast. So if you go to any podcasting app, well, any of the major ones, so Apple, Spotify, you know, etc., then you can listen to the weekly Reddit reading as part of the mostly unedited, completely uncensored podcast version of this fine, fine radio program. And with that being said, it's become a thing now, which is kind of how anything involving our creative endeavors outside of music, it's kind of how those things happen, is we start doing it, and oh, well, now it's a thing now. That's how Reddit happened, and that's how Emo Corner is happening. But first, yesterday, if you're listening to the radio show, was my birthday, you know, big 27, and... So that really has nothing to do with the fact that it shows a song of someone. I think it was you, actually. I think you learned, you had, like, picked up the, was it? Maybe. I don't know.
It was I Dare You.
Was that I Dare You? Oh, I thought it was a song. But anyway, moral of the story is this is your Shinedown fix, and I really wanted to tell you that my birthday was yesterday. That's really all it was. I forget. It might have been, I think someone probably posted the lyrics in the Shinedown group that I'm in. So that might have been what it is. But moral of the story is the song is called Miracle, and the song is by Shinedown, and welcome to Emo Corner. Beartooth, Skin, their recent video and single from their album Below, which I still can't get over. That album's so good. But Skin has definitely been, like, My favorite as of late. I forget which one actually is my favorite. I haven't really picked one yet. That album was just too good. Like, it was everything I wanted and more. Just like the A Day to Remember record, except this time a lot more people like this record than people did liking the A Day to Remember record.
I don't know why. It's such a good record.
I still can't figure it out. I cannot wrap my head around why people don't like it, but, like, I'm chalking it up to...
It's not Homesick.
It's not Homesick, but it was also, like... Like, I feel like Homesick not only was, you know, just a big record for them, but it was also a, you know, it was an experience that we missed out on. And that's just it. Like, there was something that we missed out on, and that's why everybody that, you know, is huge fans of Homesick did not like this record. So, it's whatever, you know, people like what they like, but I personally thought that... Welcome Home was a... Or no, You're Welcome.
You're Welcome.
Welcome Home is the Hell Yeah record. It's the last record with Vinnie Paul, because all of his parts were finished before he passed away. So that was definitely a bittersweet moment. I got to see them on the Celebration of Life tour that they did for them, and that was amazing. They also, and I hate that I didn't get the picture of it in time, didn't get a picture of it at all, but they had two video screens on either side of the stage, because they played like a tribute to Vinnie Paul at, towards the end. And so at the end of the show, after they had walked off the stage, like a good amount of time where like the people who, you know, stick around the front of the stage, try and get something off the stage, like a set list or a pick or whatever, on the screen, it said, like for a quick second, it was, they said, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
That's beautiful.
And I saw it and I was like, oh no. And by the time I got my phone out, it was gone. I was like, damn it. 'Cause Epstein didn't kill himself. I'm just throwing that out there. These are the opinions of us and not WELT. I want to point that out there, too.
Chances are this is not making the radio, but we have to put that disclaimer there.
We do have to put that disclaimer there, yeah. Like, because regardless, I mean, we still record this for WELT, and then obviously the podcast version is something completely separate.
Yes.
But we
because do this because we have tandem. The license to do that.
Yeah. It is in tandem with WELT and our affiliation with them. But our opinions are not affiliated with WELT in the slightest. All of that to say that we're at the end of the show.
Yep.
So, thank you very much for hanging out with us. And we'll be back. We're going to take a shower because we both need that desperately. And then we're going to pack up our things and we're going to go play a rock show. As I so eloquently put, we're going to play a fucking rock show, y'all.
Yep.
So, we're super excited. I mean, there's no one here, so it's fine. But we're super excited to go play with Set for the Fall. We also have Echoes from Oblivion from Logansport. And then we have Withered Veins from right here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, opening the show with us. Got there. And we're super, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. If you are watching the Twitch stream, this is kind of something, a sidebar that's not going to really make either the radio show, or it might make the podcast, but it's more so the Twitch stream in, foresight, I guess, is where I was going. But I'm going to ask and see about the Twitch situation, because I know I hit him up a couple weeks ago saying, hey, do you guys... since you guys multi-stream because you do it on YouTube and Facebook, have you looked into doing it on Twitch? They looked into it a while ago before the pandemic, and it just didn't really seem like there was a market. Obviously, the pandemic hit. Everything kind of switched to, you know, virtual performances and whatnot, so it became much more of a thing. And so hopefully he looked into it. I don't know. I haven't, like, checked back in on it. But I am going to try and if it's not us hosting the Muse on Main's channel, I am going to try and do a Twitch live on this channel. So www.twitch.tv/awesomewired7. Other than that, I mean, I stream basically every day, Monday through Friday now again. It just depends on my work schedule, but it's a little more solid, and I am so happy about that. Because I can stream, and I love streaming. Like, I get maybe one person in there, but it's nice just doing it. Like, it's a lot of fun. But especially because, you know, I sit there and build, and I just kind of do my thing, and if someone pops in and says hello, I say hello back. So it's a lot of fun. But we do the Twitch thing for the live cast, we do the podcast, and then we do everything in reverse order, kind of, except for the live cast is, you know, ahead of time. But you know, then the podcast gets, you know, sectioned off essentially and thrown up when I remember. And then the radio show happens, and that's what we have to spend most of our time on, which is fine because, like, the radio show is the polished version. The podcast is A, and then the Twitch is, we're just sitting here hanging out.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, so check out all of those avenues if that is of interest to you. If you're listening for the first time, you can also check out our social media. We have a whole page for Nobody's Asking because Facebook is dumb. We talked about that at the very beginning of the show. Facebook is dumb and wouldn't let us change our name. So we made a whole new Facebook page. I think we have just about as many likes on that thing. So by the end of the month, I will be taking that page, the Turn It Up Again page down. And then we'll just have the Nobody's Asking WELT Facebook page. Nobody Asked WELT on Twitter. We don't do anything on there, but it's there.
God, we haven't really plugged our socials in forever.
Not really. And then Nobody's Asking WELT on Instagram. Again, we don't do anything on there, but it's there.
You can follow us also individually. I'm at Scotty Wired Music on Instagram, at Scotty Wired on Twitter.
Yep. Austin Wired 7 on all of the things, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. To breathe bands is a thing that you can do. I don't have a personal TikTok anymore, mostly because anything I did on TikTok was just revolving around the band, or it was just using the band's account. So I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna not have my own personal because I don't use it. But To Breathe Band on all the things, it's our band.
Tobreatheband.com.
Tobreatheband.com for all of the information, because we have a website. I was hoping that we had like a referral link or something, because Sean was asking about that last night, about doing websites, and was asking our experiences, and I was like, I love it. We have our domain for 2 years, and we have full customization on our website, so it's pretty dope. But anyway, any last words? Famous or otherwise?
Yeah, I got nothing.
No, that's fair. Let's play Fucking Rock Show, y'all. But anyway, taking us out tonight, we talked about this at the...
Oh, we forgot to talk about the comment.
Oh, yeah, we did. Taking us out tonight, if you're listening to the radio show, either we cut out all of the things that we just said, or we're cutting out this part so you have to listen to the podcast when we talk about it. Anyway, Ice Nine Kills just put out a new song.
Yes.
And we talked about the record. The record's coming out in October. I did say that I would have that date, and I definitely did not remember to do the thing. So I'm going to sit here and do the thing. But Ice Nine Kills has a brand new record coming out in October. Said date is going to be October. October.
Awkward-tober.
Awkward-turbo. Turber? No. October 15th is the words that I was trying to say.
Which is exactly the date that I said earlier.
It is. Yeah, you're right. October 15th, their record, Horrorwood, is what the actual record's called. You'd have to go onto their Facebook and socials to look at kind of the concept that they're going with, but I absolutely love it. Their album Silver Scream was all about it was the 13 different horror movies.
Each song was based on a different classic horror movie.
So like, I'm excited to see where they go. I'm not sure if this, because I know that the song they just put out, which we're going to talk about here, was about American Psycho. At least I think that's what the movie's called. I'll have to double check, but it is about a movie. I'm excited to see if this is more of a creative concept record or if they're doing,
the same record just with different movies.
Yeah. But either way, I have listened to the song. The song is fantastic, and you're going to listen to the song because it's going to take us out of the show. So thank you very much for hanging out. We'll be back. Livecast-wise, I think we're going to be back on next Sunday, just because I worked this coming. So this Sunday. We'll be back on Sunday to do the livecast on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/awesomewired7. And then... Yeah, we'll be back with the full radio show Thursday night from 9 to 11, and then the podcast goes up Friday at noon. So you can check out the podcast version of the show tomorrow, and then you can check out the radio version of the show next Thursday. And you can check out the livecast version, which is just the podcast, but with no edits, because we're doing it live.
And you can see me eating chicken nuggets.
Only if you watch the VOD for this one, unless we just make chicken nuggets a thing for our podcast. We'll debate on it. If we start doing it, it became a thing, so... That's usually how that works. But anyway, moral of the story is, last Friday, these guys put out this song, which is the official lead single for their record, which is coming out, like I said, October 15th. The record is called Horrorwood.
Horrorwood.
Horrorwood. Horrorwood.
Horror. Horrorwood.
Hodor. Hodor. Hodor.
Hodor!
Hodor! Anyway, we don't watch Game of Thrones. That's where that's from, but... It's a funny joke, and we like to make it so that we remain relevant, because people are still...
But it's a dead meme.
People are still talking about it. People are still talking about Game of Thrones. It's a whole thing. Plus, I think there was a spinoff that just launched on somewhere. So, there is that. They are still raking in the money for that. None of that matters because nobody was asking. Anyway, this song is called Hip to Be Scared. It features Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach, and it is on WELT. We Are Nobody's Asking. We'll be back next week. Have a wonderful night. You can't stop fucking with my hands, stop fucking with my...
That is a good song.
It's my fucking favorite.
Like, there's that song, and then I know Enemy, and I think that's really
Enemy's good. You know Denial. You'd know it by the chorus.
Okay.
Denial seems it had to come. Denial's left me all alone.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
What the gin off your face? Yeah, stop, stop, don't please. I'm just saying like bits of it, so this isn't helping.
No, really not much even a little bit.
Black is also a good one. That's what
I mean. Seven Dust is just great.
Well, Seven Dust is legendary, and I never talked about talked about my opinions on Seven Dust. But Seven Dust is the end all be all.
I listened to a lot of Seven Dust when I was in the hospital after my back surgery.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So yeah, you probably know more songs than you think.
By a lot of Seven Dust, I mean I listened to Enemy on repeat.
Noted. My introduction to Seven Dust was their acoustic record. Like, my true introduction to Seven Dust was their acoustic record that they did. Hmm. They did a few, I think it was like half new songs and then half acoustic renditions of, you know, their bigger hits. And that was that was my, you know, true introduction to Seven Dust. About the same time, or no. Well, yeah, that was my true introduction to Seven Dust. Sparked by when I was a teenager, my mom had an acoustic EP from Godsmack. And so I was like really in that mood and whatever. And I knew that Seven Dust, you know, was putting out their record. And so that when I bought it, and I was like, this is amazing. So I actually bought that record. It was really, really good. And then they came out with Kill the Flaw, which I think is the title. Yeah, it's the title of that record. That album cycle is when I actually first saw them. And then they came out with their previous record. And then this brand new record called Blood from a Stone. Well, yeah. Podcast exclusive conversation.
Yeah.
Seven Dust is, before we end this and we get back to the show.
Yeah.
Seven Dust is the band that every band aspires to be. Like, yeah, obviously I would love to, you know, like I was talking to Sean last night at the at their O's show, and
Sean, the guitar player for Haze and Soul.
Yes, correct. I was talking to him, and I guess one of his friends is like trying to do a startup thing where he's like making the little electric scooters that you see riding around downtown and whatnot.
Okay, that's
so
cool.
So he wanted to kind of expand that, but like his goal is to like completely eradicate the need for automobiles in Fort Wayne. And I was like, that's a lofty goal, my friend.
That ain't gonna happen.
As somebody who plans to be a touring musician for his life, that's. Have fun with that. But then I'm also sitting here like, I want to be a touring musician for the rest of my life. I want to be Shine Down in the next 5 years. So I have no room to complain here.
Right.
Like, lofty goal, different topic.
Right. But moving on, we should probably talk about our second favorite group of UK boys.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if they are my second favorite group, but they are definitely an influential group.
They're in my top three.
They're making waves. Are they really?
Well, we have our friends in Fire Sky.
Yeah, of course, yes.
We have these guys, and yes. Then there's also Bring Me the Horizon.
There's Bring Me the Horizon, which is dope. They're called Caskets now. They used to be called Captives. They're freaking killing it. There's a handful of UK boys and girls that are like just fucking on top of it. Dream State is the band that you must like get into.
Ooh, I forgot about Tesseract.
Tesseract is also, yeah. I haven't like fully listened to Tesseract, but I know that they exist. I've heard them on Octane.
Their singer's phenomenal.
It's freaking dope. It's dope ass shit.
Anyway, point being,
we're getting back to, but yeah, moral of the story, Seven Dust is the end all be all, and fuck anyone who disagrees, because like, go see Seven Dust live. you will understand why I will always see Seven Dust live over basically anybody, and why I think is a crime that when I did first see Seven Dust, it was a crime that they opened. Like, they opened for Shinedown. Shinedown's my favorite band of all time. That's why we have a Shinedown fix, is because it's my excuse to play a Shinedown song every week, when I remember. Seven Dust deserved that headlining spot way more than anybody else. And when we finally get you to see Seven Dust live, which I'll have to look up their Eclectic Rim date, because they're coming back to the Eclectic Rim of all places. Like, they just played Pierre's and now they're coming back to the area. But hey, that's fine. I'll take a double dose of Seven Dust. But yeah, like,
I mean, we can go see the Seven Dust tribute at Pierre's.
We can. Are they playing at Pierre's?
24th.
Is that really?
Because Damage is opening that show.
Really?
Yeah, Damage is playing the 18th with, I forget who.
Smile Empty Soul.
Smile Empty Soul.
Which that I'm super excited for, because I didn't realize that I actually really like Smile Empty Soul.
Yeah. And then on the 24th, Damage is opening for, I forget their name. It starts with a D. I think it's like Defiance or something like that. But they're like a Seven Dust tribute band or some shit.
Interesting. Yeah. Is that the, no, that's not the Subliminal Verses. The Subliminal Verses is in October. Or August. Subliminal Versus in August. It's the Slipknot tribute band. And right. Then Mantra's on there.
Yeah.
Paying tribute to Mantra. Because Mantra is mom. Yes. We love mom.
We love our mom.
We do love our mom. Mom is great.
Anyway.
Podcast exclusive bonus content.